We're going to begin with the Walt Disney birthplace. Dan Long, did you know that the Walt Disney birthplace is right here in Chicago?
I had heard that.
Oh, you had heard that. Okay. So we're going to begin the story. On the phone, we have my friend Emmett Broderick from the Kane County Cougars. We'll talk about why he's here. And Brett Young and Diana Benedon from Los Angeles. Dina Benedon from Los Angeles. Thanks for calling us in.
Hey, how are you, Dave?
You guys all there? How you doing?
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Emmett. How are you?
Hey.
Okay. So the story begins kind of, I'd heard a little bit about the house, but I'm walking out of a Cougars game a couple weeks ago, and I'm talking to Emmett, and Emmett's telling me about all the volunteer work he does, and you started talking about the work you're doing with the Walt Disney birthplace. So, Emmett, why don't you talk about how you found out about this?
Oh, well, it started, I think, I saw a post from a friend of mine on Facebook about this project. And being a big Disney fan, I thought, oh, man, this is a little opportunity knocking. And I thought it would be a really exciting project to get involved with. So what I did was I got a hold of Brent through email and said, however I can get involved with this, I'm a graphic designer. I would love to be a part of this any way I can. You don't have to pay me. I just want to be a part of it. And I sent him a link to, you know, some of my work. And lo and behold, he called me back and said that we'd love to have you. And it's been an amazing journey with these guys. So that's where we, you know, we got the ball rolling with logos and all that other stuff and went on to a few other projects. And it's been great with these guys.
Okay, before we hand off to Brent and Dina, has Disney influenced you in your work with graphic design over the years?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. I wasn't too much into Walt Disney's history more than I was, you know, I think anybody's fascination when they first go to Walt Disney World. It was just this quote-unquote world that you're immersed in that was the creative minds that were involved with that just fascinated me. And all the aspects of it, even down to the letter styles and things like that. You know, it's just something that I guess a graphic designer looks at a little bit closer. And you know, of course, the movies and all that. It was a big influence in what I do.
You designed the logos for the Cougars, right?
Yeah, I did.
Is there any Disney influence in Ozzy the Cougar?
Well, not so much, yeah. but you know, you got to have a really open mind at a lot of different ways of looking at it.
Interesting.
You know, there's a lot of people to please. You know, there's a cartoon aspect of it that you really have to keep in mind when little kids, you always have to keep in mind little kids when you're coming up with a character design like that. So, yeah, it was a fun process.
Now, Brent Young, when I was talking to you earlier in the week, I didn't know that you're from St. Charles, and that's kind of the same turf as Kane County. So talk about your life in St. Charles.
Well, it's just an amazing coincidence. And first, I want to really thank Emmett for all his work that he's done with us. He's an incredible designer, an incredible talent, and really appreciate all of his help on this. I'm originally from grew up in St. Charles, Illinois, part of Kane County, of course, go Cougars, and it had a tremendous influence, I think, on me growing up and my childhood out there and the experiences that I had. And kind of like Emmett, you know, my trips down to Walt Disney World had a great deal of impact on my career growing up. And I didn't know it at the time, of course, all of the things that you see down there and the experiences that you have at theme parks make a big impact on you as a child. So going through life, I met Dina working at a visual effects company in Hollywood. We working on movies together and commercials and theme park work, so designing attractions and building attractions. We started a company, and you know, we really started looking into how Walt influences our lives, or did influence our lives. And it just kind of, all these things came together, and just kind of an odd circumstance, really, that we ended up coming back. I ended up coming back to Chicago with Dina and purchasing Walt Disney's birthplace, and it was just kind of an odd story.
The company is Super 78, is that correct?
Yeah, that is. Yeah, we design theme park attractions all over the world.
And Dina, what was your entrance into the Walt Disney World?
Well, I mean, I grew up in Los Angeles, so yeah. I grew up going to Disneyland almost at least like twice a year or so as a kid, which, you know, back then, I guess, was unusual, or I don't know. But yeah, and then I think, you know, just kind of ending up working in the animation industry, it was kind of a strange route for me to take. I didn't expect that. But I fell in love with the people who make animation, and then the theme park world was a very unique space. And then, you know, moving, we moved our office. We've had our office now for 20 years, and we moved it to Silver Lake, California, mm-hmm. and ended up right around the corner from where Walt Disney made Snow White at the Hyperion Studios. And it all just kind of, like Brent was saying, started falling together, and all these pieces started kind of coalescing. And then when we found the home, we started uncovering more of the story of Walt's family, and his mother and his father and his brothers, and kind of what led them to Chicago. And that's really what started to pique my interest.
Okay, now the house I have here 2156 North Trip at Palmer. Can you tell us roughly what neighborhood that is? And you got the house, and I have here on my records, 2013. So what was the neighborhood like? What shape was the house in? Paint a little picture of what was going on there in 2013.
Yeah, sure. So we were asked by the Disney company and an independent producer design a attraction for the Treasures of the Walt Disney Archives. So initially we were doing research for a project, and that's how we came about the house. We were studying the chronological history of Walt Disney, and it just so happened that there's a unique history of the home, that it was once up for landmarks with the city council in 1991, I believe, mm-hmm. and it was denied. And there was a lot of politics around it, but it was a unique story. And Dina and I had talked about the home, and we made contact with some people that we, longtime friends that I have in Chicago, and they went out and took a look at the home, and it was in rough shape. It's in the neighborhood called Hermosa, mm-hmm. which is a really great, you know, it's a working class neighborhood, but it's single family homes and, you know, a great community of people. The home itself was in rather rough condition. It was turned into an apartment building where there were two flats in there, essentially. And, you know, there were just, it was not well kept. And so we said, we need to do this. This is something that needs to be saved. It needs to be restored, and we need to uncover the story and the history of this area and why this is important and why the Disneys came to Chicago. So really that's the picture right there. It was covered in aluminum siding, and we started to uncover that and found that the original siding of the home is underneath. So 85-90% of the original fabric of the home is in existence. And what's really neat is that Elias Disney, Walt's father, built the home.
Right.
And his mother was the architect.
His mother was the architect. And yeah. Emmett knows what a well-researched interviewer I am. I've worked with Emmett for 25 years. It was also designed by his wife, Flora. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. So what's the status of the house now?
Well, so if you drove by the home today, you would see a beautiful restored home. I mean, from the exterior, if you look at it, it would be very familiar to what Walt and Roy lived in. If they saw the house and they were alive today, they would know exactly what it was because we had the paint researched. We have a wonderful architect named Charlie Pipel. He runs the preservation department at the Art Institute in Chicago. Fantastic guy. Tim Samuelson, you probably know that
name.
Yeah,
Tim's been on the show. Yeah.
Instrumental in getting us research for the home. So we've had a lot of help. Ray Colon, who was the alderman there, Carlos Rosa, who's been a tremendous help to the project. So, you know, it's flourishing. It's beautiful, and that beauty has gone out to the community and to the local neighborhood, and it's just been amazing to see what a little spark like that can do for the kids in the neighborhood, and it's just been wonderful, the whole experience.
Okay, we got to take a break for some spots. We're going to come back, and then I want to come back and ask you guys how listeners can get involved with the restoration of the Walt Disney Birthplace.
Sure.
So don't go away on WGN's Nocturnal Journal.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dream.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. And we're on the phone with Brent Young, Dina Benadon, and Emmett Broderick from the Walt Disney Birthplace here in Chicago. So is it open? I know you've had some events there. I know Dick Van Dyke popped in and stuff. So what if someone listening wants to check out the house and upcoming events? What's the current status?
Well, we're not ready yet. We are still in the process of the interior restoration, which hopefully will be done soon. We had a big milestone this week where we passed all our inspections, which was great. So we're racing to get there. We've had a lot of support and a lot of help from not only individual donors, but of course the Walt Disney Company and a lot of local support also. So yeah, I mean, we'll be hopefully thinking within the year. We do give private tours into the home. We'll probably open it again at Walt Disney's birthday. That's December 5th coming up this year. We'll do an event December 5th. We also had the Mouseketeers out this year, and that was great. And you mentioned Dick Van Dyke. And what we like to do, Dave, is bring people in that really had a moment with Walt Disney, who people that had enjoyed some part of their career with Walt Disney. And what they've all said, I mean, it's been a completely moving experience for people to go into this home and his grandchildren. But they've all said that, you know, Walt was really fond of Chicago, that Chicago really touched Walt Disney in many, many ways and influenced the park. So there are a lot of things that you see in the parks. You know, Main Street, you know, that Victorian world that was created in Main Street wasn't just what they say, Marceline. It was really part of that was Chicago. And Walt learned how to draw in Chicago, went to art school, working at his dad's factory, cleaning bottles at the Ozell Soda Factory. And so it was a big influence on him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many. That's why I asked Dan Long, our producer, at the beginning of the show. I mean, a lot of people do associate Walt with Missouri, but he left the house at a very young age, but he came back to Chicago a lot, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. He did. He not only came back, but he lived in Chicago and went to McKinley High School.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and at that time, that's when he put himself through art school. It's just an amazing story. That was the first professional training he received was in Chicago. So there is a deep history with Chicago and Walt Disney. And he came back years later to go to a train expo, and that was really the foundation of what Disneyland became.
So I knew about the house, but I never heard of Ozell Soda. And so I want to talk about that a little bit. Emmett, you showed me when I saw you a few weeks ago, you showed me a picture of the Ozell Soda. I think you can even get some out there in St. Charles. So talk about all you guys. Talk about Ozell Soda. This is a great story.
You go first, Brent.
Well, yeah, it was. What was cool about this is we did our first presentation to a large group of Disney fans, and one of them gave us a letter that was written to Elias Disney from the Ozell Soda Company. It was correspondence to Elias and his wife, Flora. They were both heavily invested in the family, and Walt and all of them were heavily invested in this Ozell Soda Company. They moved back to Chicago. His dad operated the factory, and because of some issues with the management, some financial dealings, the whole thing collapsed. And I think part of the influence of Walt is he saw his dad try things. He failed at a lot of things, but he kept going. He kept pulling himself up, and he'd move on to the next thing, and he never gave up. And I think that was the spirit of Walt Disney right there, that, you know, he never gave up. He kept moving and kept progressing. And, you know, when his animation studio failed in Kansas, he went out to Hollywood, and obviously the rest is history. But Ozell Soda, we saw that as an opportunity to, again, help fund the work that we're doing at the Walt Disney Birthplace, which is not only the restoration, but also giving back to the community and really creating something for the kids of the community. And so you can buy Ozell at any Rocket Fizz. We relaunched it. And Emmett, you can take this over. You were instrumental in creating the look and feel of Ozell Soda.
Emmett, you're so modest. You didn't tell me that.
No, I actually didn't. I'm sorry, Dave.
Well, talk about that.
Well, they came to me with that, with their idea to do the Ozell, to bring the Ozell label back, back out. And they had two flavors. We started with Root Beer Float and Vanilla Dream. And when they came to me to ask to do a label, and I'm like, oh, yes, twist my arm, sure. We get into things like, what do we want the label to look like? You know, turn of the century, where we kept the Walt Disney Birthplace logo in the same respect. We wanted that old world look to it. It had a little bit of a modern flair with the illustrations that we put on the label. But
right.
We started with two, and now what, Brent, we're up to eight now?
We have six flavors now.
Yeah. So
great.
This is my connection to Walt Disney, and I couldn't be more thrilled to be a part of this again. And correct me if I'm wrong, Brent, but I think I remember someone telling me that the two first of the bottles, the vanilla and the root beer, are in the Walt Disney archives now.
They are. Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Great.
How many graphic designers can say that they have something in the Walt Disney archives?
Oh, that's great. That's great.
I mean, it's such an honor to be a part of this, you know, and it's been such a thrill to watch this evolve in Chicago and be a part of it. So
now we've only got a couple minutes left. I want to get out the information how people can connect with you. So give me the website and how people can order the soda and how people can keep their eye on the project and all that stuff.
Okay, yeah, we are at thewaltdisneybirthplace.org, and that's where you can find out all the information about the restoration, the project, and upcoming events that we have. We also have ozellsoda.com. You can go to Rocket Fizz. Any Rocket Fizz should have a complete line of Ozell sodas. And you can follow us on Twitter, of course, at the Walt Disney Birthplace, and Facebook at the Walt Disney Birthplace. And we're always posting all of our events, progress photos, and all the things to keep everybody connected to this magical project.
You're great. You have your own podcast. You're very good, Brent. Plug your own podcast. What's it called? Season Pass?
That is true. Yeah, we have the seasonpass.com, Season Pass podcast, and we've done pretty close to 400 shows now with all the leading designers and producers of attractions around the world.
Real quick, I'm going to go around the panel. We got about a minute left, but I'll throw this at you. If you can each tell me your favorite Disney character and why. You want to start, Emmett?
Oh man, I was hoping you were going to.
Okay, we can move it. Brent, what's yours?
You know, I'm a big fan of Mickey Mouse. You can't get better than that.
What'd you say, Brent?
I would say Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse.
You can't beat it.
Hey, Dina?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was always a big fan of Cinderella. I know that sounds kind of corny, but it's true.
And Emmett?
Yeah. It's Mickey Mouse. I mean, there's so many. I mean, I'm a big Monsters Inc. fan, but that's a little bit more modern day. But Mickey Mouse is the guy. Him and Goofy are the best. So.
Me, I'm sleepy. So thanks you. Hey, you guys got to come back maybe around the birthday or when we got some more breaking news.
Absolutely. Well, you know what, yeah. Dave? I want to extend an invitation out to you and Emmett. We'll all do a little tour of the birthplace when we come back into town.
I'd love to see it. I neglected to say Walt was born on the second floor bedroom there, right? Second floor?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much, you guys, for joining us on the Walt Disney Birthplace.